heart of the Gator Nation, Gainesville, Florida. This is Under the Radar with Travis McCloud.
Welcome to Under the Radar with Travis McCloud. Tonight I got my good friend Brian on the phone, which is a miracle in and of itself. I think I got this thing recording now, so anyways, how's it going, Brian?
It's going pretty good, my man. It's going pretty good.
So let's see, you got married 4 years ago, and I got married 4 years ago, so that means we haven't talked in like 4 years.
That basically is exactly what that means, yes.
Man. Yes,
it's nice to hear from you. I heard you had a child.
Yeah, a few years ago. You know, it's working out, I think. We're going to keep them.
You're going to keep them? Yeah, right, yeah. The whole passing the kid off to the next is just really weird.
Yeah.
Inappropriate, I feel. Yeah, we haven't had any kids. We have two dogs. Our dogs are our children. We love them. We give them everything, chew toys. They eat my house. They sleep in my bed. What can I do?
they're running the place over there.
They're running the joint, man. Running the joint.
So, man, so what have you been up to for the past 4 years? I know you're doing massage, right?
I was a massage therapist. I am currently a physical therapy assistant.
Okay. PA.
I work in an outpatient clinic. So, you know, I go to one place and patients come to me. We do incorporate a lot of massage in my practice, particularly. So I still keep my hands on, feels pretty good. I've been working. I've been doing that for 5 years now, something like that.
All right. So that's pretty.
It's pretty neat. Unfortunately, so many people, you know, more and more people are discovering physical therapy every day because, you know, people get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, doctors send them over. You know, there's a lot of shoulders, a lot of hips, a lot of back problems throughout the country. And, you know, so we're the people who fix the people. So that's been a really interesting, a really cool experience.
And I hurt my back the other night just sitting on the couch eating dinner. I don't know what I did to it.
Yeah, there you go.
I got a pizza after work. I came home. I started watching TV. When I got up to go to bed, all of a sudden, I had this sharp pain in my back. I had pain for like a week after that. And I was like,
yeah.
I was like, man, I knew I was always good at eating pizza, but now I got an injury. So I think that makes me like a pro.
Can you file for workman's comp?
Yeah.
Or,
do I get like a membership card and some kind of union or something for the pizza eating?
You get a complimentary heat pack if you go into Walgreens or CVS.
I should do that.
I have back pain. I hurt myself eating pizza. What do you got for me? And I'm like, hot packs, aisle two.
Like, this is serious. I got a code red over here.
I got a code red. You don't understand. It really hurts. I was really eating pizza hard.
It's like I didn't even get to see like a first run show. I wasted it on the DVR. Brian and I are kind of movie buffs. We met at the movies.
We did.
That sounds kind of gay, but I reached over into his popcorn by mistake, and then we've been friends ever since. No, but
What year was that?
2001.
2001. Yeah, it was 2001.
12 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. You work in the movies. Stephanie Walsh was working at the movies.
Yep.
Who was friends with Stephanie Apollaro at the time.
Yep.
Melissa Walsh. Who else were our running buddies at that time?
Oh, man. Let's see.
I remember Sam the Doorman.
Oh,
he was like 95 years old.
Oh, Manny. I think that was Manny was his name.
Was the sweetest guy. He had this infectious laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that dude. I wonder sometimes how he's doing it. If he's even still around, God bless him.
Was that Manny or was that...
Not Manny. No, Manny was the other one. He was like, Manny was like 95.
Yeah.
Sam was like Sam was like 83.
Is that Mr. Lilly?
Really smiling, and Manny never made a, like, he didn't smile, he didn't do anything, but he loved working at the movie theater, loved doing the door.
Yeah.
Taking the tickets. Was like, yeah, he was like 93 years old and was going to die standing at that post.
Yeah. I remember him, yeah. I remember, I think, is the other guy you're talking about, is that Mr. Lilly?
Maybe it was.
Yeah, he was in the Navy, I think, or the Marines or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that guy. That guy was awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I used to work, you know, when I had my DCT class, I'd work during the day, and, like, I used to talk to him, and he'd tell me stories about the Navy and stuff, and I think at the time he was working on writing a memoir or something.
And,
he used to let me read, like, what he had. I was just like, dude, when you finish this book, let me have it. I never got it, but it was amazing.
Might not have finished the damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've wondered about him, too, myself.
They turned that movie theater into a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's like...
sacrilege.
And I heard the Movie Co. is Cinemark now or something, right?
Yeah, it got sold. Like all big movie theater chains, found themselves in a crap load of trouble after building way too many movie theaters way too fast.
Yeah.
You know, movie theater takes like 30 years to pay off returns on its investment. And so they built like 150 of them and went, oops, we don't have any money.
They're just like, you can get the new concession combo. It's like $300,000.
$300.
Unlimited refills.
Like, would you like the large for $75 more?
That's actually probably not that far off
Twizzler
of what it costs anyway.
Take it out of the bag.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I remember working at concession stand and everybody complaining about the prices. And I was just like, all right, I totally understand where you're coming from. And I agree with you. The prices are expensive, but they're all listed on the fucking board behind me. If you don't want to pay it, don't order it. Like, Jesus Christ, people. Like,
golly. Yeah. Did we have bulk candy there? I don't remember. Remember with the bulk candy where you could just get however much you want in those little bags?
Oh.
That stuff was so ridiculous. It was like $8 a pound for that candy.
I don't think they ever did that with us. Like,
yeah. And kids would, like, you know, you fill up a bag, which was like 7 pounds. You put it on the thing, it's like $63. Like, I'm not going to get any of it. And they would leave the candy there. Like, really?
That's really? When you're just like, this candy's spoiled. I'm going to take care of that.
Just eat it. I'm just going to eat some. Oh, the sour peaches, I enjoyed. Let me tell you what. There were plenty.
They gave us cookies one time. Remember those? Those little cookies?
Yeah.
I heard one time.
They had like the cookie dough box crap. Yeah. It was like real cookies.
Yeah. One time, and really, like, they didn't sell that well, I guess, because we had just bags and bags of them in the stock room. And so one night, Joe and I, remember Joe Onimus?
Sure.
One night, and I went up to the roof with a bag of cookies and just, like, we threw them at this car that was driving by. And then we, like, crouched down below so that he got out of his car and looked around and was like, where the fuck did these cookies come from? And I'm like, that's awesome.
Cookie, asshole.
You know that guy's just driving down the street, all of a sudden something hits his car, he gets out, and it's just cookies raining from the sky.
Man, this rain tastes so good.
Nobody's around. He's like, what the fuck?
What the hell?
I actually wrote when I was getting my associate's degree, I took a creative writing class, and we had to write a fiction story. And so I didn't really know what to write about, so I just changed the names and wrote about stuff that I did with Joe goofing off. And everybody liked the story, but when the teacher critiqued it, he was like, yeah, this stuff just isn't believable. Like, I don't buy it. And I was like, but this, I just changed the names. This is real. Like, what the hell?
But I did this.
This actually happened.
I remember you and Joe because Joe was a wild kid. I remember that. And his little wild ass. I would get you in all kinds of stupid trouble because you would go hang out with his little crazy ass.
You know, when I first met you, I know you were acting, or, you know, you wanted to be an actor / had already been pursuing acting. And
I had just moved back from New York when I met you.
Yeah.
And when we started becoming friends, and I had done some acting in New York, and, you know, was looking to do some regional theater when I got back to Florida.
Uh-huh.
And did some a little bit here and there, and did some things in Miami, looking to, you know, try and break into it down there. But, you know, I was just too far away.
Yeah.
You gotta be like in Miami, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I always think about that, because I was there in New York doing it. And it's one of those things, man, where if you don't stay long enough and do it, you know, it totally was happening.
Yeah.
And I just left before I got what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, young, stupid.
So
whatever.
So you had, like, you went to New York, like, straight out of high school?
No. I went to college first, and when I failed out of my first year of college, it was a total bust.
Where'd you go to college at?
I went to Florida State.
Well, there's your problem right there, just saying.
And they threw me out after a year. They said, hey, you should go to community college.
Yeah.
So that's how bad they had messed that up.
Oh, man.
And I got a job at a movie theater in my local, you know, where in Wellington, where I was living at the time.
Right.
And the guy that I was working with in the movie theater was running the joint was from New York.
Okay.
My experience with him was so great that one day he said, you know, listen, me and the wife, we're moving back. And I was like, well, I'm going with you because, you know, why shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And me and four other kids decided to move to New York City and give it a go when he went back. So we went, we had jobs, we set up a life, we rented an apartment out in Queens.
Yeah.
You know, we did construction, you know, we rent, which I tell you, you know, it's interesting. Movie theaters is big time in New York City, you know, it's big time. It's weird how everything is kind of big time in New York City.
Yeah.
But, you know, so working in the movie theater industry, you know, selling popcorn,
right.
But also being in New York, being around movies, that kind of thing was really exciting. I got a chance to work at the big movie theater downtown in Manhattan, which was great because I got to meet movie stars and, you know, and like see movies that you can't see anywhere else in the country, you know?
Right.
And, you know, crazy stuff like that. You know, it was weird because movie stars would come to see movies at my movie theater, which was weird.
Yeah,
Adam Sandler and which is his friend he hangs out with all the time would come. They came to the premiere of Big Daddy when Big Daddy opened up. They came to my theater.
Okay,
that was bizarre. Britney Spears' first movie that she wasn't in, but like sang the cover song for, she came to my movie theater.
Yeah.
You know, Julia Roberts, I met Edward Norton.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, so it's, that was wild.
Yeah.
Here you are just, you know, working and there they are.
Yeah.
Really wild. Really neat. So yeah, I got, you know, I got like that close to the actual entertainment industry and, touched it a little bit. Still have the itch, but, you know, real life cuts in and paying bills and whatever.
Right.
Whatever.
Now,
I sold out. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of, you know, I can really relate to that because, I mean, you know, like, I don't know if I should say I wanted to be, depending on how you look at it, I was / am a musician, but
right.
Not, you know, not on the level that I had aspired to be. But
right.
It's kind of the same thing where it's just like, well, you know, I can't really say I have like regrets or anything, but it's sort of like, you just kind of know like, well, at this point in my life, like,
yeah.
I just couldn't, you know, like I couldn't tour anything, even if I wanted to, you know, like I couldn't, you know, it's like, I can always write music and record it and put it out there and everything. But I think there's just like a little window of time where you can sort of do whatever you want. And then, And then after that point, it's not like it could never happen, but the likelihood goes down, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think there are certain industries where, you can do that, because there's like this dudes who are rocking, who have been rocking for forever, and you've never heard of them. They make amazing music, you know what I mean? And,
right.
And so you kind of fall into that category, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Now, the thing with acting is that you can get into it later in life and become that kind of quasi superstar, you know?
Yeah.
Look at some of the great Samuel L. Jackson didn't hit it big until he was older, you know, a lot of those kind of guys. So, it is interesting how, it's like, first of all, youth is where you get that big dream of being successful and being famous and make your mark on the world, right?
It's like
the 16 to 24 area. And once you're kind of outside that and you start a family and that kind of thing, things change after that, you know?
Yeah.
Not to say that it can't, it's just things change, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, anything can happen, but it's, you know, it's not as likely, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you ever get the, like, I know for me, like, I was like, oh, I really like music. I want to be a musician. Like, if I want to be a musician, I go out and I buy a guitar and I learn how to play it and I write a song and I record it and I'm a musician now. Here's my song. Listen to it.
Right.
Now, say if you're an actor, you go out and I guess you can audition and stuff. Have you ever wanted to kind of go that same route like I did except with acting? Like, well, you know, I'll write my own movie and be in it or something like that. Have you ever done anything like that?
I have thought about that, certainly. I've been around movies long enough and watching enough movies to, you know, have definitely a lot of opinions about movies.
Yeah.
I never got so far as to make my own movie,
but
I had a friend who shot a movie here,
uh-huh.
And we shot a part of the movie in my house.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in the film, and he actually took it and, you know, he was a teacher at a film school locally here in West Palm,
uh-huh.
And put the movie into a film festival.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And which was kind of neat, you know, and I got to go to a movie theater and watch the movie, which that movie was really bad. But I love the part that I'm in.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, except for this one part, that was awesome. But
except for that. Except for this one guy, you see him for like 3 minutes, and he's awesome. And I totally missed my makeout scene, but, you know.
That was the review, I think, it says in the paper.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
This movie was really horrible, except for this one part, Andre the Giant showed up from the dead, and then after that, it wasn't good anymore.
And then it was terrible after that. Yeah. So, when I get the bug for acting, especially when I was single, I wasn't with my wife, you know, it would be like, you know, I would start looking at things like in Miami, because I did that here in Florida. Like, I went down to Miami and, you know, got some headshots and,
right.
And went on some auditions. I got a chance to audition, or I got my headshot put in for a movie, a Denzel Washington movie that they had shot down here locally.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I didn't get it, but it was pretty neat to just be even considered, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And,
I've always, you know, kind of thought about that myself. I mean, I've never actually gone out and acted in anything or tried to really, but I've kind of done the same thing where I've always enjoyed movies and watched a lot of them and critiqued, not professionally critiqued, but just, you know,
right.
Opinions.
Yeah, your own opinions about, yeah.
And I've always kind of thought like, man, that'd be really sweet to just, you know, like write something and make it and... Kind of like, you know, like Kevin Smith made Clerks like that. He was just a movie fan.
Yeah.
And he
just a movie fan.
Maxed out all his credit cards, made Clerks, put it in that film festival, and, you know,
yeah.
He got lucky. You know, Miramax got a hold of it. And, like, I was like, I don't know if that would happen for me, but it would be cool just to be like, I made this movie. Check it out.
Yeah. Everybody kind of dreams of that, sure.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, is it one of those things?
You know, the movie process is interesting because there's so many different pieces, right? There's there's the crew and having, you know, having the setup and the lighting and knowing what that's all about.
Yeah.
There's the acting and the directing and putting together a script. There, you know, it's like there's so many different pieces. Then there's editing the movie. There's the sound quality for the movie, right? And then you get to, you know, this finished product. Like a song, you know, like you sit down, you compose some piece of music, you figure out your melodies, your harmonies, you play it, you record all your instruments because you're a pretty talented fella. You know what I mean? You put together this thing and boom. But, you know, a movie is like this multi-layer, which is why I think so many of the movies we watch are bad, because there are so many hands in the pot.
Yeah.
To create a movie, that when you actually get a good movie, that's a miracle.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize what goes into it. They compare it to what they've seen, and they say, oh, well, compared to this, this sucks, you know.
Right. But when you look at all the different parts involved and all the different play of politics, and it's a wonder movies even get made, quite honestly, because it's so complex.
Yeah. I know, that's how I felt when I saw Clerks the first time. I was like, because I didn't know the background of it. Like, I didn't know, you know, it was an indie movie or that he had financed it himself or whatever. Like, I just heard a lot of people talk about it. I was like, oh, I'll check it out. And I was like, what the fuck? It's in black and white. Like, that's ghetto. And then and then I was like, this fucking movie's boring, man. Like, just, it's in black and white. Like, this is... And then, you know, so... Like, and then later on, I sort of, like, learned about the history of it and what went into it. And I watched it again with a different set of expectations. Because I was like, I wasn't trying to compare it to Hollywood. And I was like, oh, well, you know what? For what it is and how it was made, this is actually pretty decent.
You know? Actually, not bad. Yeah, right.
But the first time I saw it, I was like, you don't even have a color, really? Like, what the hell? You know? It's like, well, in 1994, color costs like, you know, $1 million or something. You know, whatever it was, I don't know. But to that note, though, I know, like, recording music technology has progressed a whole lot since I started recording. And like now you can, you know, you don't have to go to a recording studio anymore. You can do it right in your house. And you can make a studio quality. I mean, if you like, I can't do it cause I don't know what I'm doing, but if you know what you're doing with it, like I have a friend of mine that I record with up here and he's real great at that. He knows how to work everything and make it sound right. And like some of the stuff I've done with my band and some of the newer stuff on my own, I've done with him. And it sounds exactly like a recording studio quality song.
Yeah.
And do you know if that's the case with like movie making stuff now? Or
movie making is definitely, well, I mean, if you look at the technology in the cell phone.
Uh-huh.
You know, people are making, the home video has gone to, we've gone to the internet, we've gone to YouTube.
Right.
It's become an art form of its own. I don't even know what you call that. But I think there still is an art, you know, even though, like you said, you know, the people can create it. There's a lot of technology out there. There's a lot of computer programs. But there's still something about telling a concise story, point A to point B, and where you entertaining. You know what I mean? There's still... And it's not to say that you need or don't need the technology to even do that. You
know? Right.
Like to make a good song. Sometimes a song is just, you know, it's just, that is a really quality song. And look what we have. We have artists who are recognized now, who are indie artists, who started on the internet, who just put their music out there.
Right.
And, you know, I think Macklemore is kind of the latest, right? He kind of came from nowhere. Indie, they did their own thing. They wanted to make their own rules. And look at the result.
Yeah.
Huge, huge, huge star right now. Like two or three major hits.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's unheard. I mean, that's hard to do when you know the music business and everything. Like one hit is a miracle.
Yeah.
Two or three is just like unheard of. Yeah.
I know when I heard Thrift Shop, I texted my friend Joe, not Onimus, Joe DiStefano, who I used to play with, and I was like, dude, this guy wrote our anthem like all these years later.
Speaking to the masses, man. Speaking to the masses, that's true.
Man. Yeah, and, but I would, you know, I think I would like to do that. Like I actually wrote like a first page of a script, you know, and I thought, you know, like, this would be pretty sweet just to, like, just to write a story and go film it and just, you know, maybe it'll be shitty when you're done, you know, maybe I'll finish it and somebody will look at it and be like, what the fuck, this thing's in black and white, you know, but, you know, I just, at least just to be like, whatever, say what you want about it. I made it. It's here.
Yeah, I made it. Look at it. Yeah. Here's what I made. Yeah. You know, so last year, the Christmas party of my job, we do a Christmas party for a number of all of our offices. We have like five.
Yeah.
And we get together. So my boss of my particular office wanted us as an office to do a rap song at the Christmas party. Just something fun, something simple.
Yeah.
So we came up, we took the song, Baby Got Back.
Yeah.
And we modified it for a therapy version. So we got Baby Got Back Pain.
From pizza.
So I had to sit down. I sat down one day because we had come up with a couple of lyrics, whatever. And one day I had to finish the song because the party was coming up. So I sat down and just like created this song, came up with a couple of the different refrains.
Right.
And it was really fulfilling, like creating this thing, this whole thing. Like, and then we did it. We put it on. It's on YouTube. Baby Got Back Pain. It's me rapping, and the rest of my crew behind me dancing along, and we're having a good time.
Yeah.
And it's wild. You know, we got to perform it for the group. Nobody was expecting it. Nobody knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, just the creative process of putting pen to paper and then being able to deliver it was really exhilarating.
Yeah.
It was really, really neat, you know, like.
Yeah, and I think it's great, too, like you were saying, that we have YouTube and things like that now. It's like, it has the potential to be seen by everybody all over the world, you know. And like,
Right. People will take things and you never know
and
how it's going to hit.
I think they have services now too that you can pay them and they'll like they can get your movie on Netflix and stuff. Like, I don't think it's guaranteed that it'll be on Netflix, but they can actually at least take it to Netflix for them to be like, oh, well, you know, we're going to put this on or like, get out of here, kid. You got no future kind of thing.
Yeah. The man always holding you down. But yeah.
So I was thinking like, that'd be cool.
You know, I'm sure. Put together a movie and, yeah, the movie business is fun, man. You know, I've always been, I love storytelling, you know, and I think that like all the creative arts, it's just an interesting way of telling stories, dance, music, acting, all of it is just different ways of telling the story, right?
Yeah.
We love storytelling. As a race of people, we love storytelling because that's all we do is tell each other stories. That's all we do. And there's something really cool about the movie industry because it's so visual and we're all, you know, very visual creatures. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know? Really, really interesting. Actually, you know, it's funny. I saw the preview for they're remaking RoboCop.
I heard about that. Yeah. I haven't seen the trailer, but I've heard. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Oh, it looks so terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks terrible.
I'm just like, I don't know if you should mess with a classic like that, you know?
The first one, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time you get to like level, like part three, you can just scrap the whole thing.
Yeah, part three was kind of an abomination.
They really stretched it. Yeah, they really, really tried.
I think at that point, Peter Weller was like, yeah, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I quit.
And they're like, we don't need you, Peter Weller. We'll get this other guy. You'll see. And I was like, yeah. No,
this other guy, and whatever the hell is
that? Yeah, I don't even know his name.
Now. Yeah, I have no idea. The voice was different. It was terrible. Yeah. But I tell you, know, the problem you run into with a RoboCop is how do you avoid becoming Iron Man? Like, how do you do that? You can't.
Yeah.
It's really just an Iron Man for police.
Yeah.
Which, you know, totally worked at the time because Iron Man was not a reality, but now it is. So it's like, how do you beat the comparison?
Yeah.
You know,
you got to have RoboCop versus Iron Man. That's
right. And then, you know, like it was set in Detroit. Detroit was a crumbling city, which God bless Detroit. It is still a crumbling city.
Yeah.
You know, you could shoot that movie on location and, you know, actually probably make the city a better place, unfortunately.
Yeah. Did I tell you I wrote a song about RoboCop?
Did you?
Yeah, for my new CD. Yeah. It's called He Remembers. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, RoboCop, classic movie. So yeah. Well done. It's one of those movies that proves the point that you can make a movie about anything. If you follow the rules of movie making, you don't break your own rules inside of the world.
Yeah.
You can make a movie about anything, literally anything.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was a completely ridiculous plot line, but it totally worked. Totally worked.
Kurtwood Smith's such an asshole in that movie too. Like,
yeah.
It's so weird because it's like, I mean, I guess at the time, you know, I don't know what else he had been in at that point, maybe Dead Poets Society or something. But I don't know, man. Like, watching it now, comparing him to Red Foreman, it's like, wow, this guy's ruthless, you know?
Ruthless, yeah.
Remember when Stephanie hadn't seen that movie yet when I had first started dating her?
Which one?
RoboCop. She hadn't seen it, and I was just like, what the hell, you've never seen RoboCop? And she was like, no. And then I think I called you and I was like, hey, you have RoboCop, right? And you're like, yeah. I was like, bring it over.
Yeah. I definitely, yeah.
And then I think we made her watch Howard the Duck too.
Oh god, Howard the Duck is amazing. It was one of like the great 80s movies.
Yeah.
And You know, the one thing that I think I am so opposed to these days is the level at which, like, the kids' cartoons now.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And I get it, that stuff's not for me, but, you know, like, I do not understand what they are doing and that live-action cartoon stuff that they do.
Yeah.
These days, the Disney Channel, this stuff, it's like their comedy is so forced. It's so over the top. It's not funny.
Yeah.
To me.
You're talking about like the live action shows, like, I don't know what the hell are they called.
Yeah, all the Good kid Luck shows. Charlie yeah, or something. All of those kid shows. Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, any either. One of them. The live action stuff is so forced.
Yeah.
It's so canned. It's so fake.
Yeah.
You know, live action shows when we were young were all like, it was about fake music groups with kids who could really sing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It ended up looking like the Mickey Mouse Club a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, it was stuff like that. And now it's just this forced can laugh, like the two twin brothers who lived on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
All of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like Cody and Zach, I think their names are.
That's one of the things about Disney I don't like. I like a lot of stuff about Disney, but they can have that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, there's plenty of goodness for Disney, but Their I don't know, their programming, their newer stuff, really is just, I don't know, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Not
Although I have Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on like a 24-hour loop in my living room.
Of course. No, of course, because the kids these days, they absolutely love that stuff. They can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how we were when we were growing up watching our stuff, and our parents didn't really get it either. You know?
Well, you know, my son asks for specific episodes of it now.
Wow.
He's like, I want to watch Mickey's Silly Problem. Like, I want to watch I Captain Mickey. And I'm like, you know the exact name of the episode. Like, this is...
Yeah, right. Like, wow.
It's good, though, because, I mean... They teach
I knew
him
it came
on
at 3 o'clock. That was the best that I could do.
Yeah, because I have it all, and I got a little tech set up here. I got him his own little personal Netflix because I got the computer set up to record stuff off TV, and then I have my other computer set up where I have all of my movies and stuff on the hard drive, and then I can stream the movies from one of the computers to the other one that's hooked up to the TV. So instead of having to change out DVDs whenever he wants – he just says, I want to watch this. And I say, all right. And I scroll down the menu and click it, and it streams. And it's like Netflix in your own house with your own stuff.
Nice.
I'm just like, I'm actually getting something out of this computer degree. I'm making my house awesome.
That's it. It's such that you need a computer degree to run your own house.
Yeah.
So I got to be a part of a movie in New York City that a friend of mine was filming. And he, one of the guys, he was doing a, he was in a film class.
Yeah.
And he was directing. And one of the guys that was in his film class with him was a stagehand for Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay.
So he was telling, and been there, probably still works there to this day. And, you know, because those are like those, you don't quit those jobs. You know what I mean? You don't ever leave. And that was really cool because, you know, he was just telling us all these crazy stories from Saturday Night Live. And, you know, you work there, it's like a regular thing. And that's wild.
Yeah.
And he was in film school, you know.
So what was the name of the movie?
I have no idea.
must have been pretty good.
I remember we were up in the Bronx. We filmed at this dude, the Saturday Night Live guy's house.
Yeah.
We were doing a murder scene. I was playing a detective.
It wasn't like Naughty Nurses 5, was it?
No, it was not. It was Meat Dick Part 6. I don't know. It was something.
I saw Part 6. That one was pretty good. Wasn't as good as 5, you know. I think in between 5 and 7, they kind of hit, you know.
It really just slowed down at that point. They, you know, writers weren't sure where they wanted to go with it.
Yeah, they were still feeling out the characters, literally and figuratively. That's the thing that sucks about puns. Like, if you make a really good one like that, I always feel like I have to explain it in case people don't know. I'm making a joke. Laugh at it. It's happening.
It's just comedy, people.
And then it's the whole thing of like, if you have to explain it, it's not funny. Like,
yeah,
I think that's the rule of
that always
jokes.
Sucks. Yeah, that always sucks. Yeah.
Maybe I'll just edit that part out and see if people get it. Or I'll go back to my other rule of nobody listens anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like,
right.
I'll just like write it on the internet. Like, I made an awesome joke and you didn't hear it, but trust me, it was amazing.
You didn't hear it because you're stupid.
You guys suck.
Because it was funny.
Weren't you in Law and Order one time?
I was in 2 different episodes.
Nice.
Yes, that was cool. I was doing an extra bit and, you know, no speaking role or whatever, but it was when Jesse L. Martin and Jerry Orbach were the guys. And me and this other dude ended up being the construction workers who had found the body of this little boy.
Yeah.
Who, you know, ended up in a drain pipe that we were doing something with.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of motioned to us, and we're standing kind of behind them, maybe 10, 15 feet.
Yeah.
And I never saw the episode. I was also on an episode of Rescue Me.
Oh, really? So that's pretty recent then.
Yeah. Like, the last episode of season 1,
uh-huh.
They're playing a hockey game between the police and the firemen.
Right.
And there's like 1 second of film time. You can clearly see me. It was funny because me and the wife started watching the show, and I forgot all about it until we got to that episode and went, oh, there I am.
Oh, so wait, so you're actually in it then?
I'm actually in it. Like,
oh,
clearly.
Nice. Oh, I'm totally going to watch Rescue Me now then.
Yeah, Rescue Me, the last show of season 1.
Yeah.
And you could totally see me. I remember that day filming. It was wild.
Oh, that's awesome, man. How does that happen for you? Like, do you have an agent or something, or?
No, see, this is the beautiful thing about New York, right? So you can go there are these little agencies that do casting, big casting calls for this kind of stuff all the time.
Right.
And there are these little things you go in, you know, they test out whether you have some talent or not. And then they send you on stuff.
Uh-huh.
That simple. You know, and so I went in cause I was actually visiting New York when I did that scene. It was like, I wasn't even in town for like a permanent time. I was just visiting and we went and did this thing, you know? So, they're like, you're going to an ice skating rink. Make sure you wear a jacket, you know, kind of like that. Okay. And I went, I got on the bus and, you know, and ended up in the shot that, you know, got used in the show.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of sitting behind the directors and whatever. And or not the directors, but the principal actors who I didn't know at the time because I did not watch the show. I had no idea. So
was Leary in that scene?
Yeah, he was.
That's pretty cool.
They're sitting on the bleachers. It was Gary. It was the two knuckleheads.
Yeah.
And the older guy, before he killed himself, were sitting on the bench in front of me.
Okay.
And they're talking about Dennis Leary and the guys playing playing hockey on the ice.
Yeah.
And, like I said, it's only, years later when I watch the show, I go, oh, my God, I can't believe that. It's just right there. I have no idea.
Man, that's pretty cool that you're you're sort of in a place too where you're like, yeah, I did Rescue Me once and then I forgot about it. So like, I feel like if I did something like that, you'd never hear the end of it. Like, I was like, did y'all know I was on Rescue Me Once? It's the greatest episode in the history of television. And then you'd watch it and you'd be like, where were you? And I'd be like, what's wrong with you? I was there for that 2 seconds on the bleachers.
Did you see me? I was so frozen. No. It was totally clear. Like my wife was like, oh, there you are. Yeah, it's one of those. If you know to look for me, you'll totally be like, what?
Yeah. And it's the last episode of the first season, you said?
Last episode of the first season.
I'm totally watching that now.
Yeah. And it's there because it's the fireman, policeman, hockey competition episode.
Yeah.
And,
see, that is something I didn't know. I had no idea that happened.
Yeah.
See, that to me, that would be like if I just told you, like, just out of nowhere, if I was like, oh, yeah, by the way, I opened for James Taylor the other night.
I'm like, what?
I don't know why I just picked James Taylor out of nowhere. Like he's like the big rock star right now.
James Taylor is actually a really amazing artist.
Yeah.
I must admit, I do love some James Taylor.
I would probably brag about that forever, too. I'd be like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, right.
You go out there and hype up the crowd, and then he calms
like
them down.
Like the time I met Britney Spears.
Yeah, the death smile.
Yeah. That was pretty awesome meeting Britney Spears. That was pretty nuts.
So what do you think? Like what's the biggest role that you ever that you ever played? Like what?
Oh wow! The biggest role I ever played.
Like, I mean, obviously, that was on national television. Like, that's pretty big. Have you done anything bigger than that, or?
No.
Or well, how about this?
As far as exposure, like, people say, I mean, biggest thing I ever did is that, but was it me in the lead and doing the thing? No,
yeah.
Definitely not.
Or what's, like, do you have, like, a favorite that you've done, like, just in general? Like, not including...
Yeah.
TV shows and stuff.
Right. I was Punjab in the show Annie.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's probably one of my proudest things because the stage show Annie doesn't have Punjab in it. He was a creation from the movie.
Okay.
Right. So they didn't, he's not in the play. But when the director put it together, she thought, Punjab should be in it. And she just had this idea that he would just be the big bodyguard. He wasn't going to have any real impact on this thing.
Yeah.
But because of, kind of who I was and my presence on stage, she gave me a song. I got a song. I got a dance number. I got, I was intimately involved in a piece of the production because of who I was. And I think that's probably one of my crowning acting moments where it was like, this character that was nothing became, took on a life of his own in this piece that he's not even in. Yeah. It was really neat. And then what was cooler was years later, I was in an acting class with some people and it came up that I had played Punjab and they went, wait, what? Really? Like, you were Punjab? I thought they had found some giant Indian guy to play that guy,
Yeah.
And these were other actors that I really loved and had a great respect for. So that was pretty neat to even, like, years later have that kind of connection with somebody.
Right.
It was neat. That's probably one of the bigger pieces of my life, with his fashion.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. Wasn't that kind of around the time when we were working at the movies?
I think there was. Yeah, I think so. I think I was involved with that.
I think one of your co-star. I was gonna say co-workers, but I don't think that's the right word. Co-stars, co-actors, somebody else in the play. I'm gonna go with that. Yeah. Somebody else in the play. I'm not smart enough to come up with an actual word for it. They came in and they said something like, "Oh, that's Punjab over there." I was like, "What? What the hell are you talking about? His name's Brian." They go, "They're like, yeah, he's in this play." I was like, "Oh, all right, whatever."
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, I remember that.
I was at Roadhouse the other night, and I was telling people about the first time I went to a Roadhouse was that night that we went to get food for the movies. They had, like, traded with Roadhouse and, like, Boca.
Yes.
And they're like,
God, I remember that. How the hell? And then there was a movie theater in that plaza. How the hell we got to, like, food from there? It was like 35 minutes away.
Yeah. I remember they were like, "Hey, will you go pick up this food?" And I was like, "All right, but I'm taking Brian with me." And they were like, "Okay." And then we walked in there, and I was just like,
"Yeah, we drove like 45 minutes to go pick up that food or some crazy thing."
Yeah, I was like, "Well, we get out of 45 minutes of work, or like 90 minutes, I guess, because we had to go back." You know?
Yeah, for real, it was tremendous. Yeah, it was really weird.
I remember I went in there, I was like, "This is the place you can throw the peanuts on the floor."
And then the theater that was there wasn't even like, it was like an AMC.
Yeah.
Or something.
I was telling my mom and my sister, I was like, "Yeah, the first thing we did when we walked in the door is just grabbed a big handful of peanuts and threw them on the floor." Because I was like, "You can do this. They don't care. Check this out."
They don't care. Yeah, that was the first time. Yeah. That we had gone over. Yeah, you know, it's weird. It's so funny because years later, I actually went to see a movie in that theater with Stephanie Walsh.
Yeah.
And I think Melissa and maybe some other people. And I actually had a job interview at that same plaza years later. Then later when I was a PT traveling physical therapist, I saw patients who lived like right near there.
Yeah.
I have a whole memory of that one plaza, that Roadhouse. Yeah. It's really weird. It's really funny.
It's weird how things come back later in your life, you know, like.
I was just telling, you look back and go, holy cow.
I was just telling Stephanie the other day, like I was playing the guitar and Colin, I don't, he just loses his mind when I play guitar. It's like the worst thing in the world, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, like I was trying to like go get him cause he was screaming and then the guitar fell on the floor and it broke, like the neck broke off.
And oh, shoot.
I was like, oh damn it. You know, but I remembered how to fix it because one time, actually the only time, I was hanging out with my friend AJ when he was in that band, the Groovniks. One of the things they did at their practice that night was they had that same problem and they like glued it back together. And I remembered how they did it. And I was like, I know how to fix this.
Wow.
This random thing from like 20 years ago.
A random memory. And there it is.
And I went out and I got the wood glue and the clamps and I fixed it. And I restrung it today and it's perfect.
Wow, it's just so weird.
It's like you never know where, like something that might seem insignificant at the time, you know, sort of comes back later like that.
That's so wild. Well, it's so weird that like the friendships that we all developed when we were working at that movie theater, I never would have imagined, and it's not that I didn't imagine it either, but that we would all still be friends and talk and hang out. And I mean, it's been like 11 years.
Yeah.
Since we met, you know, and you know, we were just all just a bunch of jerks working in a movie theater.
Yeah.
And, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's, I was thinking about that too. It's, you know, it's weird. Cause like at the time it's like, man, you know, this job, it kind of sucks. I don't like it, whatever. You know, I mean, I met some good people there, but if you really think about it, I'm like, you know, I made friends there that like I'm still friends with now, and like I met my wife while I was working there. You know, like crazy
like
to think.
How the ripple effect. Yeah, the ripple effect. Really.
But it's like, you know, I met my wife there. Like we have a son together. Like who would have ever thought that at the time? You know.
Yeah.
It's like you just never know how things are gonna play out.
I swear. thing. Fascinating. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like two nights ago.
Yeah.
Thinking about my old life when I lived in New York City.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go back to sleep because I was just thinking about the old times and it was just fascinating and interesting how sometimes you can get haunted by memories of old lives that you've lived, you know.
Right.
Like if you've ever gone through any of your drawers, you know, and you find stuff that you used to use in another part of your life.
Yeah.
You know, or like you would, like you going through, you know, picking up old guitars or whatnot or old equipment. And you go, God, I remember, you know, like I remember your first album, not your first album, but one of the first albums that you wrote when we were working at that movie theater that I loved.
Yeah.
Was that Tamerlane?
Yeah, Tales from Tourmaline.
Tales from Tourmaline. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And that's it for part one of my interview with Brian Russell. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to have part two next week, so stick around for that, and we'll see you then.